For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome.
Good morning.
So I'm talking today about Dongshan and the five positions, the five degrees, five ranks, sometimes it's called, which is a core teaching of Soto Zen. And so I want to talk. I spoke yesterday for 2.5 hours on this, so this will be a shorter version of that. I want to start off by talking about Huayan Buddhism. So Huayan is the Chinese name for the Flower Ornament Sutra, or the Avatamsaka Sutra, and the Huayan school developed in China. It's Kegon in Japanese. And it had a tremendous influence on Soto Zen and Dongshan. And to start with, I will talk about Huayan and the Fourfold Dharma Dhatu. But Huayan Buddhism is kind of the background of Soto Zen. And it's, well, Dongshan, my teacher Tenshin Reb Anderson has called Dongshan, the founder of Soto Zen in China, or Zhaodong as it's called in Chinese, he's called him the sixth ancestor of Huayan. So this is, Huayan has five ancestors. A recent academic scholar conference agreed that Huayan is deeply embedded in all East Asian Buddhist schools. So I want to talk about Huayan and the Fourfold Dharma Dhatu. So this is about the Sando Kai, first of all, by Shuto, who was the harmony of difference and sameness is something we chant regularly. And this is about how we share our teaching with our experience of the ultimate, of the universal, with our everyday activity, in our everyday activity. So Sando Kai is harmony of difference and sameness. Sameness is a way of talking about oneness or the ultimate or the universal or wholeness. Same and difference is about the particulars. So the phenomenal reality, our regular everyday reality. And though in Huayan, there was this fourfold Dharma Dhatu, amongst other things in Huayan. But we'll start with that. The fourfold Dharma Dhatu was, first of all, the Dharma Dhatu of Shi, events, the particular realities. Then the Dharma Dhatu, or the Dharma realm of Li, principles, or the ultimate or universal reality, which is what we taste in our zazen, in our facing the wall, in our uprightness. We face the ultimate, and yet the third of the four full Dharma Dhatu is the mutual non-obstruction of Li and Shi. So the ultimate and the particular mutually non-obstruct each other, mutually interface. So the ultimate is in the particulars, and the particulars express the ultimate. So this is basic teaching of Li and Shi, of the ultimate and the particular, and how they interface in our life. The ultimate doesn't exist except in the particulars, in the phenomenal reality. And yet the phenomenal reality, each bit of the phenomenal reality, each bit of our everyday activity does express the ultimate wholeness of Zazen and of the mutual non-obstruction of Li and She. The fourth Dharma Dhatu is the mutual non-obstruction of She and She, which is more challenging in some ways, that the particulars, the phenomenal reality, does not obstruct the other phenomenal reality. So how is it that our particular expression of the ultimate in our everyday activity informs all the other particular realities? So this mutual non-obstruction of She and She, well, I mentioned that Dongshan is can be considered the sixth Huayan ancestor. So the first one is Dushan, 557 to 640. The second is Zhu Yan, who was 600 to 668. Fazang is very important as the third ancestor. Fazang was the teacher of the Empress Wu, who was the greatest, most powerful empress of China in that period. Fazang is 643 to 712. And he taught Empress Wu using the Hall of Mirrors. So, you know, another teaching of Huayan is Indra's Net, that each particular event informs every other particular event. So as a way of demonstrating that to Empress Wu, Fazang had this Hall of Mirrors, where there were mirrors on the four walls and then the intermediate spaces, so eight mirrors around the room, and then top and bottom. And in the center was a Buddha. And the Buddha in each mirror interacted with the Buddhas in each other mirror. And there's actually a room like this at the City of 10,000 Buddhas in Ukiah in Northern California, where I visited. This is a way that Empress Wu saw the Buddha interpenetrating with all the other Buddhas in the phenomenal realm. And this is the mutual non-obstruction of She and She. He also taught Empress Wu through the golden lion. So each bit of the lion is a lion. The ears and the nose and the tail and so forth, all of which are lion, part of the lion. But also each of part of the lion was gold. This was a golden lion that was in the front hall of Empress Wu's palace. Just to finish off, the Chengguan was the fourth ancestor in Huayan, and Zongmi was the fifth, 780 to 831. He was actually a Chan teacher as well, Chan or Zen. So Zongmi is the fifth, and Dongshan, who's the founder of our Soto lineage, can be considered the sixth, not formally, but Reb Anderson said that Dongshan is the sixth ancestor in Huayan. So this leads up to, again, Shuto was a couple generations after the sixth ancestor, and then a few generations before Dongshan. And Shuto wrote The Harmony of Difference and Sameness. So again, this is about how our glimpse of the ultimate, of the universal, our sense of the universal or the ultimate, or of wholeness, basic wholeness, is part of everything all the differences, all the particulars, all of the all of the particulars of the phenomenal world. So in Dongshan's verses on the 5 degrees, he talks about the phenomenal and the real. The real is the sameness or wholeness or the upright, and the phenomenal is the inclined. So this is also talked about in terms of the difference between inclined and real, and there's different ways they're talked about. So host and guest, minister and vassal, in Chinese society, were considered parallel to the ultimate and the particular, or the ultimate and the phenomenal. One thing about these 5 degrees of Dongshan is that they are poetic. Dogen, who brought the Soto lineage from China, the Caodong lineage from China to Japan and founded Soto Zen, which we practice here, did not like the five degrees or five ranks, because he thought there was so much systematic talk about this system of the 5 degrees that the 5 degrees don't really fit as a system. It's too tempting to think of the 5 degrees as the ultimate and the particular, and this is not how Dongshan actually presented them. Dongshan, a historical footnote. Dongshan lived in the 800s. Recorded sayings of Dongshan didn't appear until the 1000s. So the academic scholars question whether these 5 degrees are actually something that Dongshan wrote about. However, that Dongshan wrote about them is kind of poetic. It's not systematic. Later on, there were systems, and I'll talk about that a little bit. But the five verses of Dongshan about the phenomenal within the real and the real within the phenomenal and so forth go like this. The phenomenal within the real, at the outset of the dead of night before moonlight, do not be surprised to meet without recognizing a glimmer faintly familiar from olden days. So this is the phenomenal within the real. This is the first of the 5 degrees. And now in the Sandokai, Shito, Sekito in Sino-Japanese, had talked about night and day, or light and dark. And dark is where the ultimate happens. Dark is where the real happens, where the ultimate reality, all things are as one, because they can't be distinguished. In the light, we can see the particulars. We can see the different aspects of reality. So phenomena within the real, at the outset of the dead of night before moonlight, do not be surprised to meet without recognizing a glimmer faintly familiar from olden days. So this is the glimmer within the darkness, but phenomena within the real, we can see from this glimmer. The real within the phenomenal is the second degree. An old woman waking late at dawn stands before an ancient mirror, clearly seeing her face, but nothing else genuine. Don't turn away from your visage, reaching for reflections. So this old woman waking late at dawn, st- stands before an ancient mirror. So this is the phenomenal within the real being the ancient mirror, clearly seeing her face, but nothing else genuine. Don't turn away from your visage, reaching for reflections. So this is more apparent in the 5 degrees versions of Hongzhe, but this old woman is like the a song of the Jewel Mara Samadhi, where there's a when the one man begins to sing, the stone woman gets up to dance. This is the ancient woman, the stone woman, who gets up to dance. And yet here, this is before the wooden man begins to sing. An old woman waking late at dawn stands before an ancient mirror, clearly seeing her face, but nothing else genuine. Don't turn away from your visage, reaching for reflections. So this is a sequel to the wooden man starts to sing and the stone woman gets up to dance. The third is coming from within the real. So maybe I should say how he sees the five, the phenomenal within the real within the phenomenal, coming from within the real, moving within both, and then arriving within both. So coming from within the real is the third of these. Amid nothingness, there is a path apart from the dusts. If you can simply avoid the current emperor's taboo name, you will surpass the eloquence of orators of past dynasties. So this is emerging from within the real. This is like the third day of Sesshin, of a 5 or 7 day Sesshin, when you coming forth from merging with oneness, merging with the wholeness. And so this is moving within both. Two swords crossed in a duel that need not be of. The coming from within the real is of nothingness. There is a path apart from the dust. If you can simply avoid the current emperor's taboo name, you will surpass the eloquence of orators of past dynasties. So that's coming from within the real. Then moving within both, and you can see how these are poetic rather than didactic or doctrinal aspects of the five, but moving within both, two swords crossed in a duel that need not be avoided, skillfully wielded like a lotus amid flames, Dongshan writes, naturally have vigor to ascend the heavens. So moving within both is when there is this recognition or activation of both the ultimate or the principle or with the real and the phenomenal or the particular, moving within both, two swords crossed in a duel that need not be avoided, skillfully wielded like a lotus amid flames, and it's said that all Buddhas sit amid flames, naturally have vigor to ascend the heavens. So this is moving within both, and then arriving within both is the fifth of the 5 degrees or five ranks, five positions, neither falling into being nor non-being. Who dares harmonize? So this harmonization of sameness and difference is the fifth rank, to harmonize the arriving within both the phenomenal and the real. People deeply wish to escape the stream of the ordinary, and yet, after all, return to sit in the warm coals and ashes. So neither falling into being nor non-being, who dares harmonize? People deeply wish to escape the stream of the ordinary, and yet, after all, return to sit in the warm coals and ashes. So we may wish to escape the stream of the ordinary, of the particulars of the phenomenal, particularly in this time when we all know about the cruelty regime of the billionaires that is taking.
And it's a shame that they don't want to serve you until I'm sitting here.
Well, I guess they can function because I've been doing that whole time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Can you mute yourself? Oh, I got it. Sorry about that.
Okay. So, yeah, it's Bryant has left us, and he had some comments about about this in the warm coals and ashes. So we return to sit amid the warm coals and ashes of the phenomenal, of the particular, of the cruelty regime of the billionaires. We return to sit in the warm coals and ashes. People deeply wish to escape the dream of the ordinary. So this is a dream, this ordinary reality that we are sitting in. There's also five verses of Dongshan that are about 5 degrees of, or five positions of accomplishment. And that Hakuin and the Rinzai school in Japan and the Rinzai and the Linji school in China looked at these 5 degrees as degrees of accomplishment. Maybe I can go over those briefly. Dongshan's five verses on 5 degrees of accomplishments. Looking upon is the first one. The sage kings from the outset took as their model Emperor Yao, one of the great semi-historic emperors of Chinese lore, ancient China, and governed the people with ceremony, their dragon waists bent respectfully, passing through the crowded markets and streets. Benevolent rule was celebrated and cultures flourished. So this was looking upon. This is the first degree. Again, these are 5 degrees of accomplishment, so-called. The second one, for whom do you bathe and apply makeup and adornments? This is serving. The cuckoo's call urges all wanderers home. Countless flowers have fallen, yet the cry continues among jagged peaks in deep wooded thickets. So in the phenomenal realm, there is this serving that is countless flowers have fallen, yet the cry continues among jagged peaks in deep wooded thickets. So this is the cuckoo's call. For whom do you bathe and apply makeup and adornments? That's the second one of serving. The third is accomplishing, flowers blossoming on a withered tree in a spring beyond Kalpas, riding backwards on the jade elephant, chasing the Chilin, which is the Kirin in Sino-Japanese, now hidden beyond the myriad lofty peaks. The moon is clear and breeze pure at the approach of sunrise. So this is the third accomplishment, which is also like emerging from connection with the ultimate. Again, these are poetic rather than didactic categories. Flowers blossom on a withered tree. So flowers blossoming on the same, the plums blossom on the same withered branches as last year is one way this is put. But in spring beyond Kalpas, flowers blossom, riding backwards on a jade elephant, chasing the Chilin or the Kirin, which is this kind of magical animal, like a unicorn with one horn, with the head of a dragon and the body of a donkey, excuse me. Now hidden beyond the myriad lofty peaks, the moon is clear and breeze pure at the approach of sunrise. Then the fourth is accomplishing mutually. Ordinary beings and Buddhas do not inhibit each other. Mountains are naturally high, waters naturally deep. What the myriad distinctions and numerous differences show is that where the partridges call out, hundreds of flowers bloom afresh. So this is accomplishing mutually. Accomplishment of accomplishment is the head sprouting horns is no longer bearable. The mind desiring Buddhahood is a cause for shame. In the endless empty kalpa, nobody has ever known why to journey south and seek the 53 Bodhisattva guides. So this is the last, this is about the last chapter of the Flower Ornament Sutra, the Avatamsaka or Huayan Sutra, which in which there's a pilgrim, Sudana. So we're actually up to this in the readings of the Flower Ornament Sutra, the Huayan Sutra, that happen the monthly, the first Friday evening of the of each month. We're reading together this Flower Ornament Sutra, and we're actually up to this last chapter, which is the pilgrim Sudana journeying south and seeking the 53 Bodhisattva guides. So there are 53 different Bodhisattvas, all in various different forms. Okay, this that was a quick reading of these, of the five verses on the 5 degrees of accomplishment. But what happened with this, with Dongshan's teaching about this, is part of the story, and this I'll just cover briefly. Shaoshan, who was one of the disciples of Dongshan, and sometimes the it's said that Shaodong or Soto is a combination of the names of Shaodong and Dongshan, but Soto or Shaodong refer has the Shao first, so actually the Shao is a reference to Shaoxi, the sixth ancestor who taught at Shaoxi. And anyway, the Soto school, really the five ancestors, the six ancestors or whatever, start with Huineng, and then through Sekito and Song of the Harmony of Difference and Sameness, and then going to Yunyan, the teacher of Dongshan, Dongshan's five verses. But Shaoshan made a big deal about these five, and systematized these 5 degrees, and this is a big part of Soto history. Shaodong in China, Soto in Japan were all about these 5 degrees as a system, and it was very tempting to for people to think of the 5 degrees or 5 positions as a system of how the ultimate and the particular integrate. And so this Dogen really disliked the 5 degrees. He didn't dislike Dongshan. He talked about Dongshan a lot, but he disliked the 5 degrees because he thought they were too much of an attractive system for understanding Soto Zen. But actually, Dongshan's verses and those 5 verses, the 2 versions of them that I read, were all that Dongshan said about the 5 degrees or 5 positions. Shaoshan and various teachers thereafter, I talked about Hongzhe's version of the 5 verses in yesterday's, were about the system of seeing how the ultimate and real interact, the ultimate or real and the particulars interact. how the harmonizing of difference and sameness interact, and was seen as a very attractive system for understanding this. So before I talk about Dogen's inclusion of the five, though, I want to talk about biological pentamerism. So, you know, as binary beings, we have a front and a back, we have a left and a right, male and female. There are, you know, we're trying to now have more than just male and female, more than just two possible genders. But of course, the billionaire regime is changing it to, you know, you have to have either he or she. You can't use other pronouns. So anyway, they and them. I don't know if other people have pronouns listed. Paul Cathy has he and him listed on online. At any rate, the binary thinking, subject and object, object and subject, the way we think is so much folded into two-ness. But in the Cambrian epoch, which is hundreds of millions of years ago, there were echinoderms, which are fiveness. So the Jewel Mare Samadhi by Dongshan talks about fiveness, and these five degrees are about the fiveness embedded in the 5 degrees. In echinoderms, like starfish or other fivefold creatures, were dominant in the Cambrian era. When the Cambrian era ended, they were not the dominant species of life on Earth, but they persisted, of course. But if evolution had proceeded in a different way, these five might have become intelligent, and they would have had a fivefold way of seeing things. We are binary creatures. We're left and right, in front and back. So we see things in terms of two-ness, but actually, it might have been five-ness that was seen as the ultimate. So this is just a footnote in my chapter on the 5 degrees. I want to talk about Dogen's response, though, to the fiveness. He talks about fiveness, but he doesn't talk about the 5 degrees or 5 positions, because he's, you know, doesn't like all of the scholarship that happened in China after Shaoshan, and that happened in Japan as well later on, when Dogen was revived in the 1600s, although he was never completely obscured in Soto Zen. But in the 1600s, there was a kind of revival of Dogen. But also there were scholar monks then who used the 5 degrees as a formal way of talking about what Soto Zen is. So let's see. I think maybe I just have time to go through one of Dogen's uses of the fiveness. The other one is in the Genjo Koan, in the beginning of Genjo Koan, but I'll skip that. So in Ehekoroku, which I translated with Shohaku Okamura, Dogen's extensive record, Dogen says in Jodo or Dharma Hall Discourse number 256 out of 531, Dharma Hall Discourses in volumes 1 to 7 of the Ehekoroku, he says, sometimes I, Ehe, enter the ultimate state and offer profound discussion, simply wishing for you all to be steadily ultimate in your mind field. So when I first came to this this particular Dharma Hall discourse in translating Ehekoroku, I was amazed at how Dogen saw his different versions or his different types of teaching, and how he wished for you all to be steadily intimate in your mind field is the first one. And the beginning, sometimes I, Ehe, sometimes is being time. So Dogen's essay, Being Time, Uji, is sometimes. Sometimes I, Ehe, enter the ultimate state and offer profound discussion, simply wishing for you all to be steadily intimate in your mind field. This is the first degree. This is the first of five that are put together in the Dharma Hall discourse. The second, sometimes within the gates and gardens of the monastery, I offer my own style of practical instruction. So this is the Ehe Shingi, the Dogen's pure standards for the Zen community, and how those within the gates and gardens of the monastery, I offer my own style of practical instruction, simply wishing you all to disport and play freely with spiritual penetration. So all of the forms of the Zendo, all of the forms of the monastic or residential lifestyle in those temples is simply wishing for all of the students to sport and play freely with spiritual penetration. So he has Ehe Shingi, he includes the Tenzo Kyoko and how the Tenzo sees all of the different people, different beings that he has to prepare food for, simply wishing you all to disport and play freely with spiritual penetration. So this is the second. The third, sometimes I spring quickly, leaving no trace, simply wishing you all to drop off body and mind. So dropping off body and mind is a phrase that Dogen uses regularly to describe Zazen, just dropping off body mind. It doesn't mean getting rid of body and mind. It means dropping off attachments based on body and mind. So this is Dogen springing quickly, leaving no trace. Simply wishing you all to drop off body and mind. So that's his third. And the fourth, sometimes I enter the samadhi of self-fulfillment, simply wishing you all to trust what your hands can hold. So this is about faith for Dogen. This is, sometimes I enter the samadhi of self-fulfillment in being time. At times, I enter the samadhi of self-fulfillment, which is the Jijiyu Zanmai, this samadhi, this concentration of self-fulfillment, which is the self realizing, accepting its own function, literally. It means self as a compound, accepting one's function means self-fulfillment. It means self-realization. It means self-enjoyment. So enjoying oneself is simply wishing you to trust what your hands can hold. So Dogen enters this samadhi of self-fulfillment. This fourth of this fivefold aspect of what Dogen is talking about here. Sometimes I enter the samadhi of self-fulfillment, wishing you all to trust what your hands can hold. So faith in Buddhism is not the same as belief as it is in Western Christianity or Judaism or Islam. Faith in some teacher, some deity, some being, scripture. Just trusting what your hands can hold, having faith in what your hands can hold, what you can do right now. So this is the fourth of the five that Dogen is expressing. And then suppose someone suddenly came forth and asked this mountain monk, Dogen himself, what would go beyond these teachings, these four kinds of teachings? And Dogen says, maybe after a pause, I would simply say to them, scrubbed clean by the dawn wind, the night mist clears. Dimly seen, the blue mountains form a single line. So this is not the same exactly as the 5 degrees of Dongshan, but it's a fivefold approach that Dogen is offering that in some ways echoes the 5 degrees. Again, the 5 degrees is a poetic teaching. It's not a doctrinal teaching, although Caoshan and others in Soto, other Soto scholar monks tried to make it something that was systematic, and that's what Dogen rejected. But here he's saying, I would simply say, scrub clean by the dawn wind, the night mist clears. Dimly seen, the blue mountains form a single line. So this is the oneness that includes both. Dimly seen, the blue mountains, which, you know, are up and down, especially at a Heiji in northern Japan, where Dogen was, where he founded his temple after his assembly moved from Kyoto. They formed a single line, dimly seen. So I think I'm out of time now, but I'm happy to hear any questions or comments or discussion by anyone about these 5 degrees.
Well, thank you, Taigen. I would say that was about 20 wonderful Dharma talks in one, which is more than fivefold, I don't know, 20-fold. Maybe if we were like echinoderms. I feel like an echinoderm, like I was just thinking of my body. Five, you know, two arms, two legs, and a head.
Yes, that's right. And five fingers also, which is...
Five, you know. But thank you so much for also this encouragement to... not be stuck in wholeness or particularity, but to embrace everything in this body and mind. And bodhisattvas, please offer your questions to Taigen and Lu. Maybe you could help with the people online, since your screen is maybe a little more amplified than mine. But does anyone in the room right now have a comment or question? I see Neo's on way up in the back there. Yeah, speak, please.
Yeah, good morning, Taigen. Thank you.
Hi, Neo's on.
What? Oh, is he just featuring? Thank you, Taigen. My question is maybe, you know, there was so much there, so I guess you pointed out, so it's maybe just a tiny aspect, and I think it's was said in reference to the four Dharma Dhatus rather than the five ranks, but since they overlap so much, I think it might be useful if you could clarify it for me. And this is just the, there were the lines moving within both and arriving within both. And I know what the both are. I'm not clear what moving and arriving mean in this context. Could you help with me? Help that with me?
Well, yeah, there's moving. Okay, so the fourth, of Dongshan's verse, moving within both, is that both are part of the whole. Both the ultimate and the particular, both the sameness and difference, are part of the whole. And so they're moving within both. Arriving within both means that they're not no different, that they're the same, that the oneness of the ultimate wholeness and the oneness of the particulars are exactly the same. So arriving within both is both are fully integrated. There's no difference between the sameness and difference. There's no sameness of the sameness and difference either. They're just both together. So moving within both is moving into the realm where both are operating. Arriving within both is that they're actually the same.
Okay, thank you. That is helpful. Thank you very much.
Sure.
You're welcome. Other comments or questions online or in the room?
And Teigen, I think you gave yesterday a seminar that probably people could still sign up for if you wanted the whole talk.
Yes, actually, yeah, there's a recording of the 2.5-hour version of this talk, which is which includes things from Hongzhe and more from Shaoshan and Hakuin, the Linji approach. So that was if you want to register for that and sign up, you can still get a copy of that recording, and you can register on the Ancient Dragon website. So any other comments or questions about this fiveness that is Paul Cathy has a question.
Thank you for your talk, Teigen. I had a question. I don't want to, you know, get us off track talking about the five ranks, but was curious if you could just briefly expand on your mentioning of how Dogen interpreted faith as what's in the hand, or trusting what's in the hand.
Yes. So in the word, the Chinese character, so Chinese, translating Chinese into English is a challenge because Chinese characters have numbers of overtones and other meanings involved. And as compounds, as two together, Chinese characters have yet other meanings, like self-fulfillment for accepting one's function. So it's complicated, but as a translator from Chinese, faith is there's a Chinese character. Actually, it's partly a person and their word. So it's a person and their word is faith, but standing by their word is faith. But in Buddhism, it's more like trust. It's more like trusting. Well, trusting what your hands can hold is what Dogen says in the fourth of this five. Trusting what your hands can hold is more what faith is about. Faith is about trust. It's about confidence in Buddhism. It's about not trusting in some external deity, although it's complicated because there is trust and faith in bodhisattva figures, for example, but it's not the same as faith in, you know, the Almighty or faith in the ultimate deity. And, you know, with apologies to all the people here who are also Christian or Jewish or Muslim or whatever, as well as Buddhist, and it's possible to, I know, I don't understand it theologically, but I know I've seen people who are both Christian and Buddhist. And so, you know, the faith is confidence in something. And In Buddhism, it's just taking the next step, you know, just the next moment. So faith is difficult to translate. Trusting is maybe a better translation for faith in Buddhism than it is in Western religion. So that's a little bit about that.
Thank you.
And Aishan has a comment.
I'm wondering if maybe said a different way, would this be trusting that you have what you need to get through this life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, yes. That's trusting that, how we pass away, how we die is a complicated issue. Do we die peacefully or do we die violently or something in between? And how is it that we die is a whole question that is part of Zen practice. It's an element of, it's a deeply personal element of Zen practice, trusting that we have, that we are what we are. Trusting that we can be what we are. There's a dot above Chris Cadman's picture on the website. I don't know.
I wanted to just follow up. I didn't mean trusting that we have, you know, what we need to get all the way through to the end of this life, but to like along the way, as compared to trying to control and trying to plan and trying to grasp, trusting what your hands can hold is maybe trusting that your hands can't hold everything, but.
Trusting the next step.
Trusting
the next step is, you know, a good way to talk about faith in Buddhism, I think. Trusting what your hands can hold would be another way. Trusting how we each see our life as it is today, now. Trusting that we can hold the memories of, we may have regrets or we may have fears for the future, but we can at least trust what our hands can hold.
Maybe that's a really beautiful place for us to end this conversation today with these open hands. I'm thinking that this might be a time for us to do the Bodhisattva vows, and thank you very much, Taigen, for sharing this kind of sometimes difficult but incredibly foundational and broad teaching with us and leaving us with these hands. So we'll chant the four Bodhisattva vows and then have announcements. And I'll make some announcements before the Eno does today. So may our intention equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way.
Beings are numberless. We vow to freedom. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's ways are unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it. Beings are numberless. We vow to free them. Delusions are inexhaustible. We vow to cut through them. Dharma gates are boundless. We vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. We vow to realize it.